I've done about three different intros for this episode. I've done about three different intros for a different episode, which then I uploaded, and then the guest was on a different podcast, which released the same day today. So that guest's been moved because I don't want to be a fucking stinking little press boy.
Oh, you're promoting, so come on now. Oh, I'm an urchin, I'm barnacle boy, let me just piggyback off your success,
because I fucking hate it. I hate myself, I hate press culture. Oh, just the fucking worst. This is where I do an ad as well. Here's an advert. Hello, buy a razor blade for your underwear. Use my code, dickheadfucktwat, and you get 20% off, and you're not going to do it. I'm sick of it. Fucking donate a quid to the Patreon if you can be asked. Or don't. Can you tell I just can't be asked? If I die, don't listen to this episode. This will be the one when you go,
oh, I heard it. Oh, I felt like it was coming.
Fuck you off. Listen to one of the ones where I'm all funny. Like in the episode. In the episode, I'm very funny. My guest this week is Toby Duncan. Toby Duncan is the singer of Trash Boat, who are a UK band. I don't even know what genre they are, really. It used to be pop punk. Now it's a little, you know, maybe it's just rock. They got a new album coming out. Don't You Feel Amazing? We talked before we knew the name of the album. This was a while ago. What did we talk about? Toby's a out bisexual man. So we get, I guess, pretty sexy, I'll be honest with you. We talk about quite a lot about sex. Sex between boys. I mean, men. Jesus Christ, that sounded bad, didn't it? Fucking hell. Probably edit that out. Nah, leave it in. Yeah, talk about that. Talk about what it was like for him coming out. Talk about he had a painkiller addiction. That's pretty nasty. He's had which came from like an accident, as they most often do. Had a knee injury, led to a painkiller addiction. Pretty gnarly story. That sounds like it's all just sexy or sad, but it was everything in between as well. Toby Duncan on the Downbeat Podcast. Mate, I'm having the worst technology 3 days, and then you just laid this Zoom on me. Your Zoom camera looks like a fucking Game Boy as well. I thought were you big on the Zoom?
It's a work laptop, mate. I can't be held accountable for the technology that I am bequeathed by my job.
You've got a nice little Dyson fucking fan behind you there.
I would truly love to flex and say that I purchased this Dyson fan, but it was here when I moved in. Great perk. Great perk, right?
Well, you just moved into a flat and it had a Dyson.
It's not really a flat. It's like, it's a temporary place because I'm buying a house with my brother. Well, that's the plan anyway. Like, the plan is that me and my brother are going in on a house together in London. And in the interim...
Fucking hell, Trash Boat's doing well.
Yeah, it's my brother that's doing better. He's the main reason. But yeah, I've got a little bit of cash saved up, and it's either get like a below average place on my own, or pull in with my brother and live together with him in a nicer place, like in more sort of central London. And that seemed like a no-brainer to me. But
where in London? I'm coming to party.
He wants it to be in like Southwark, so like Brixton area ish if we can afford it, obviously. Like, I would rather live a little bit further out and have a nicer place for less money, but it's not up to me, is it? Yeah, it's up to both of us.
There's so much cool shit around there. That'd be fucking sick.
It will be cool if we can get it sorted out. I mean, like, it was originally supposed to happen around October, November. I don't know whether we're going to be able to sort something out. It's all kind of COVID dependent and money dependent. But unfortunately, this place as nice as it is, because it's not really like, it's like a friend of the family who has a property that they lease, so I get like a good deal on it, and it comes with a Dyson fan, so like immediately moved in.
Immediate cop.
But unfortunately, they've basically asked me to move out like May, June-ish, because they're like, we need the place for someone else. And I was like, oh, can I just stay until October, November? Is that, because I'm paying rent, like it's my place technically, but at the same time, because they're friends of the family and that, when they're like, look, we need this place for bigger things, it's hard for me to be like no. They've asked me to be out by a certain time, so I'm trying to be courteous and nice. So there's just this big 4 month gap between now and October, November, where I don't really know what I'm going to do. But
mate, we've had that for a year. Don't worry. Yeah. Another little bit extra. What's work then? Because you said you've been at work.
I did, but I got a full time job around about, it was a few months after COVID started properly, like when we realized that music wasn't going to happen for a hot minute. My parents, like I was a late bloomer in the independence side. Like I didn't move out of my parents' house until I was 27.
Oh mate, I kept moving back. Yeah. I kept moving out and been like, I sort of can't afford a life right now, can I come back for a bit?
That the thing is, that's the nuclear option for this 4 month question mark, because they've gone and moved up to Hereford, which is out in the sticks, like retirement where you go to die sort of area. And
Tolkien was from Hereford, I think.
Was he?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, if you want a little bit of fucking, I'm gonna drop a Google on that right now, just to
Jamie
make sure.
Young Jamie, pull it up.
Jamie, pull that shit up.
Yeah, so like I could move back in with them for a few months. I wouldn't have to pay rent. I could save a bunch of money. But yeah, basically they moved to Hereford and it was crunch time. It was either go with them to Hereford or find a place. And in order to find a place and pay rent, I needed a job, because Trashboat wasn't touring, wasn't making any money. We were writing a record. You know, we were had big expenses coming up. You know, we couldn't dip into the fund to kind of keep ourselves going properly without jobs, because we needed, you know, money for other things. And yeah, I had to get a job, so I'm now a technical support analyst for a recruitment software called Bullhorn. It's incredibly interesting, but not really. But actually, I've
what
been,
sort of technical support?
So like it's this software that recruiters use. So if you're a recruiter and you're looking to get all your clients jobs, then this software has all of your candidates, all of your contacts for different companies, like vacancy records and stuff. And it's just like software that helps you move your candidates through the hiring workflow process and helps them find jobs. And just, it looks pretty and it's got different colors and that. And if it breaks or if it doesn't work properly and you don't understand how to use it, you call someone, I answer the phone, I go, hello, good morning, you're through to Bullhorn Support. You're through to Toby.
Is that the voice?
Well, I mean...
Do you put a voice on?
I put a more formal voice on.
Give me the voice.
I go like,
hit me with that fucking juice.
Good afternoon, you're through to Bullhorn Support. You're speaking to Toby. Can I get your first and last name, please?
Oh my God, I feel like I'm on technical support.
I know, right?
You got like a just slightly more dulcet tone.
Yeah.
Hello there. Welcome to Your Shit's Fucked Up, and I can help you not fuck it up.
That is, well, the thing is, it's not even your shit's fucked up. Like, most of it is people just being like, why doesn't this do this? And it's like, because that's not the way the software is designed.
Wait, right,
like,
mate, I don't know if... How old are you?
28.
I don't know if it's... I'm getting old. I don't know if it's my brain has died. I don't know if it's a general just thing. Everything I own breaks, and then I can't fix it. And it's not... I have to be the person that phones fucking technical support. In the last 3 days, I have had a Wi-Fi printer, which was supposed to be... It's so easy.
Oh, God,
plug and play. It took me a fucking hour and a half to get it to sync up for my fucking mesh Wi-Fi or whatever that bollocks is that I had to sort out. Then I bought a new fucking MacBook. Doesn't work because it's M1 and all the shit doesn't work. Obviously. And I'm scrambling around trying to get it to work for this. And then I bought a coffee machine and it turned up dead on arrival. And I had to phone technical support and they were all like, honestly, turn it on, turn it off again, blah, 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 do this, do that. I was there for fucking ages. I'd already Googled all this, tried it all, and then they go, yeah, it's broken. I have to send you a new one. Oh, it's a long weekend, so send us yours back on Tuesday, and you can have a new coffee machine after that.
Right. Imagine working for tech support for a coffee machine. That I feel like that should be quite chill, because there's only a certain amount of things that can go wrong.
The guy pissed me the fuck off. I don't know what the deal was. It was, you know, in the office, in the UK office, if you're a school on the UK office.
I prefer the UK office to the UF.
There's a bit like where the IT support guy comes in and he's like, they're like, oh, yeah, we went go-karting at the weekend. And he's like, oh, yeah, down supercarts. Yeah, I was bombing it around this one time and this idiot left a ramp out. Anyway, that was the fucking guy, I swear to God. He gave me his name. It was like, yeah, it's Mark. No, he was like, yeah, please email support at fucking whatever. Support at coffee machine you've got no fucking business owning.com. And I was like, okay, then, what's your name? And he was like, yeah, it's Martin. And I said, all right then, Martin, I'll email you support at anyway. Oh, no, my name's not in the email address. And I went...
Classic, innit? They don't want you coming to someone specific.
No, but he said, this is the email, support at whatever.com. And I said, okay, what's your name? Martin. Okay, Martin, I'll email you at support... And no, it's not Martin. And I went, are you aware of how a sentence works? And it didn't really go down very well. That's probably why. He probably broke it fucking... via Bluetooth.
Yeah, people want their own personal analyst for their problems, and they don't like the fact that it kind of goes into a pool and then it just gets assigned to like a random person. There's a bunch of people who like ask for me specifically by name because they don't want to have to explain like their process to new people, which I get, but at the same time it's like, dude, just do the thing, just go by the process, man.
It's a weird world. I mean, fair play to you, because I would fucking absolutely be dead at my desk. Well, I cannot deal with human beings, especially, yeah. I mean, you must get Karens.
Oh yeah, it's 100%. But the thing is, like, I don't really take it that personally. Like, I'm quite good with difficult customers, because at the end of the day, if you know the software well enough and you know what it can and can't do, and you've got someone like, the biggest Karens that you get are people that call in and they'll be like, oh, you know, we had this old system and it worked like this, but like, well, now that I'm using this new system, like, why doesn't it work like this? It's like, it doesn't work like that. I'm sorry. Like, you have to just go by how it works. And they're like, oh, and they'll just kick off. But I'm just like, it is what it is. Like, I don't really, like, the worst one that I had was a guy, and he called in and immediately, like, I did the voice, I was like, first and last name please, all that kind of stuff, and he was just like, right mate, I need to be put through to, you know, top tier, whoever owns the company, put me through, because I'm absolutely fuming. I was like, all right mate, like, what's going on?
Top
and he was
tier.
Like, I've been sent
fucking
this email.
Dickhead.
Yeah, totally. And he's like, I've been sent this email, I've no idea who generated this email, you know, there's information on it that could compromise my business, like, I didn't ask for this email, I didn't ask for this information, like, who's generated this email, where's it coming from? And I was like, okay, give me the ticket number, let's go. And I look at the email, and request has been generated for two bits of information that are just ancillary. It's like the number for the server that he's on and the token for his corporation, which is just back-end information that means nothing. And he was like, where's this information come from? And it's like, well, it looks like you've requested this information. He's like, no, I haven't requested this. I'm being hacked. I've got my lawyer on the phone. I'm filing an SLA complaint. And he's like,
I'm being hacked.
Oh, God, it was just such bollocks. He was talking as if, like, his dad was stood in the corner of the room and was, like, grading him on his ability to kick off at support and get something in return. He was like, I'm going to prove to my dad how good I am at, like, kicking off when something's gone wrong. And I was just telling him, like, mate, I understand, look, this ticket has been generated accidentally and sent to you accidentally. It should have gone to someone else. I understand that that's, you know, not really on, and we'll address that. But I need to just make you understand that this information that you've been sent, it's not compromising information. It's basically just a funny version of the name of your corporation, like, where it is. Nothing can be done with this info. And he wouldn't have it. He was just absolutely kicking off. He was chatting to his lawyer. he was throwing all these acronyms at me about how he's going to report me and the other analysts and the company and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, mate, you are trying so hard. You are trying so hard and I don't even know what you're trying to get. Like, I've told you this. This is just nothing information. And the whole time on the phone, I was just cucumber cool because I didn't really care. And at one point, he was like, I feel like you're not taking this seriously, mate. I feel like you're not, like, you know, you're not rising to my energy levels. And I feel like you're not taking this seriously. I want to speak to someone else.
He said that. You're not rising to my energy levels.
He didn't say that verbatim, but that is exactly what he was saying. He said, I feel like you're not taking this seriously. And he referenced my tone of voice because I was just explaining things to him in a very calm way because what he was kicking off about was not an issue. And it was just so draining, but at the end of the day I was just like, mate, this information is nothing. You have no reason to be upset. You don't need to call your lawyer. You don't need to get daddy's money involved. It's not a big issue. And he just wouldn't accept that it wasn't a big issue, and I ended up having to escalate it to a manager. They said the same thing. They spoke to our legal department. They were like, there's no issue here. And it was,
would you be in trouble if you did a silly voice? Does anyone watch it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
listen,
yeah,
to you.
It's random, so they quality assess random calls.
What about just turning it on a little bit, like,
hi there, you're through to Toby.
Just like would that fuck up or what?
I'd probably lose a few points on my quality. It wouldn't be a big deal. I lost 10 points on a call. It's out of 100, and I lost 10 points on a call once for saying oof. Someone was like, oh, I have this problem, and I just went oof.
And you, what, someone listens and then you get less points? Yeah, this is like a Black Mirror episode.
It was an out of policy comment, like, instead of responding by when someone says they have an issue.
I would much prefer that. Much prefer the guy, you rose to my energy levels, my friend.
Totally.
I'm in the shit and you've said oof.
When someone gives you a query, you have to reiterate the query. So someone said, and it's so annoying. Like, this is one of my least favorite things about it. Don't get me wrong, I love this job. I love the people. It's actually it's my favorite job that I've ever had. Like, the system. Yeah. The system is really transparent. Like, there's not a lot of that, like, insipid corporate love bullshit. I really like all of my seniors. I like the way it's structured. I actually don't mind the work, even though it can be annoying at some times. Like, I really do like this place. And I'm gearing up for a promotion in the next month as well, which is awesome.
You do play in a band, right?
We'll talk about
that in a minute. We'll talk about it in a minute, because at the moment I'm fucking interviewing tech support.
But no, the thing is that's one of the reasons why I like this place so much as well, is that I've discussed the band element with them. I've been like, this is my situation, can we make this work? And they've said, yeah, we can make it work.
Yeah, because they're laughing like, that's never gonna happen. That's never coming back. Gigs aren't coming back, mate. You're my wife now.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, like, they're willing to make it work.
Right, let's talk about your band then. You do a band.
What band? Which one?
What, you got another one? You got two?
No.
Right. Trash Boat.
The one, worst name ever, but best name ever.
I like the name. I was just about to say it's a good name.
I actually like how terrible it is, because
I don't think it's that terrible. I think it's better than, like, As Her Lion Roars. You know what I mean? Like, a fucking bullshit metalcore names.
Totally. No, I do get that. It does have a cool little story behind it.
Go on.
What's the regular? It's the regular show episode. Anyone that watches regular show will just already know. But it's like, regular show is a cartoon that, it's like a kids' cartoon, but it's written by stoners. So it has a bunch of just like,
oh, I know the one.
Yeah, it's full of stoner,
trippy shit.
Totally. Yeah, it's stoner jokes hidden in a Cartoon Network vibe that's like PG friendly. And there's an episode where one of the characters is watching his like favorite rock star on TV, and the guy's being interviewed and he's like, how did you become so famous? And the guy's like, oh, you know, I just changed my name to the first two things that I thought of, The and Urge, and before you know it, I was just the biggest rock star in the world. And then he's watching the TV and he looks around the room and he sees a trash can and a picture of a boat, and he changes his name to Trash Boat, and he becomes the most famous rock star in the world, and all the other famous rock stars come back in time to try and kill him.
And you, no one else had stole it.
We're the first
sick
Trash Boat. Yeah.
That's fucking cool. So if I Google Trash Boat, what comes up? What comes up first, the band, or are you more famous than the cartoon? Let me do it, Jamie. Pull that fucking shit up.
I don't think we will be more famous than the cartoon, but I think we'll come up more in Google.
So alert. Who's first? Trash Boat tickets.
boy.
Trash Boat.
Oh, was that a little accidental plug right there? Trash Boat tickets on sale as of today for the headline tour. That's definitely going to happen and not get rescheduled.
On sale today?
On sale today, this morning.
Why was this not liaised prior? I mean, I know I'm not really press, but, you know, we could have I released an episode today. It could have easily been your episode. Could have just done this a bit earlier. Instead, this will be out in 2 weeks. So hopefully there's still tickets left.
Yeah, I mean, there most likely will be.
I love it. That's what we're here for. No, you're the most famous. You're actually famous. Trash Boat, you know, Wikipedia's you. Even the first four videos is you.
Classic, mate. Classic. We're overtaken.
Nice. And we met each other on the While She Sleeps. What an interesting lineup, but it was sick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it
While
was.
She Sleeps, Stray, you guys, was that it?
Us and then Landmarks. Like French metalcore band.
Landmarks.
Landmarks.
They had the old V for the A. That was a good band as well. That was a good tour.
Yeah, that was a really solid lineup.
You did it in a fucking van though, didn't you?
We did do it.
So you missed
in a van.
All the fun.
Yeah, we do everything in a van. We're very much keep costs at an absolute minimum type band.
Mate, I just remember Skaters Palace, Munster. I swear a load of you guys stayed there, and I'm sure loads of you were sick, like just from drinking too much. Someone was definitely sick in the toilet. You know the place? Skaters Palace, upstairs. You guys were sleeping upstairs.
Yeah. Where?
Near the end of the tour, I think, maybe even the last date.
It was up there, and it was, yeah, it was like that place with like the massive skate ramp in it. I remember that show.
Yeah. I'm sure someone was sick.
Oh, probably. Like, our boys are hit and miss, but like they'll pick some nights to get truly fucked up.
Because I would just come and hang out with you guys because you had the, you know, a bit of a southern accent, was not. I think I came straight from a US tour into that as well, and I was like, ooh, southern accents, love it. Let's go.
Was it? Yeah, no, it was Skaters Palace, like that little hostel bit, and you, like the Sleeps guys were in the bus parked up outside. And I remember, yeah, that was a long one. That was one of the biggest nights of the tour in terms of the sesh.
Yeah, I remember everyone was fucking losing it. I think we had 2 days off before it. That's what happened. Or 2 days off after it, remember? And the buses were just parked there and everyone was just fucking hanging around. And
yeah,
we had to come in and use the toilets. But you guys were living in there. It's like some trash boat fucking hostel.
It was strong vibes.
I'm sure. I just remember fucking... I remember seeing Ryan and Dan and they were just fucking out of their minds.
Yep, classic.
Like, almost unable to talk. It was fantastic. It was really, there's nothing quite like a southern English person just fucking out of their brains.
Yeah. 100%. Oh, we do pick him and we do have some great nights. I mean, like, I love touring in Europe. Like, the hospitality is so good and like the places to stay are often so good, and like the riders, the food, it's all great. I just wish that they didn't hate us because we have singing. You know,
do they,
I mean,
hate,
like,
you? I mean, it's a weird tour for you to be on.
Yeah, totally weird. Like, it was great, don't get me wrong, but we were definitely like the pussy band on that tour. Like all of the people like who wanted beatdowns, and like Europeans have that weird way of coming up to you and just being like, "Oh, hey man, you know, it was shit at first, but then
one song I like
a lot," and it's like, oh my god, yeah, cheers man, appreciate it. Yeah, your first album,
the Euro Honesty,
I think was not good, but second album was, you know, a bit better.
Still not good, still don't like it, but better, keep it up. And it, like, okay, thanks bro, thanks for the fucking unsolicited pep talk.
Yeah totally. Like, I mean, I love Europe and I wish we popped a little bit more there, but I mean, we did really well on our headline tour.
Like, was the, I mean, that, what, before it or after it?
After. This was like the last, so like just before we went on the Broco tour in the US, which was so good. We did like a little headline tour before that, which did a bunch of Europe dates, and like loads of them sold out. It was really, really cool. We weren't expecting it, but
you wouldn't have been that high up on a While She Sleeps tour unless you had the ticket sales. It's just an interesting billing.
True, true, true.
But it was cool.
I thought that was, like, in terms of vibe and getting on with people, like, there were no egos on that tour. It was wicked. Like, everyone got along really well. The Sleeps guys are so cool. They're so welcoming. And all the crew as well.
So sick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, just good vibes all around. Absolutely love it.
Everyone striking their drum kits when possible. Fucking, that's when you know a headline band's fucking sick as fuck. I mean, they didn't do it every night, but most nights. And if I said, oi, Sav, come on. There you go, yeah. Fucking sick. He might have even done it every night, I can't remember. Maybe, I think, on our last headline tour, I did it every night, except I was like, boys, do me a favour, can I just have it at London? Because I've got all my friends and family there, and the stage is massive. Can I just do it once, just not pack my stuff down?
It totally depends on the venue size.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah, like, we have had it a couple times, like, back when we were baby band, and we were on our first tours, and we were getting, like, supports as favours and that. There were a couple of shows, there was one in Scotland that I remember, it was so rough, where the band didn't strike their drums, and I had, like, this 2-foot by 2-foot square at the front of the stage.
America, all of America.
And
where in Scotland was it?
I don't remember. It was like a pretty high up stage, and like the green room was like to the right of the stage, and you go outside a little bit, and there's like a little kind of smoking area courtyard bit, and it's like the load in is down like an alleyway with a slope, and it's up like that cobblestone hill.
I mean, I think that's the garage, but the backstage is to the left.
It's in Edinburgh.
Oh, Edinburgh?
Yeah, fuck yeah. Knows then.
Fuck knows. Somewhere posh. That's posh Scotland.
Yeah, like you go up that cobblestone hill, and then there's like a
most of Edinburgh.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, something. It's got a number. Studio 60 fucking bullshit or something.
It might be. It might be. But yeah, I couldn't move for the whole set. And I said something, and the guys were like, don't say that, because I was on stage and I was like, yeah, I mean, I'd like to put in a bit more effort, but I'm kind of restricted. I can't really move or I'll fall off the stage. And they were like, shh, don't say.
Who was the headliner? Go on.
Oh, no. I'm not
going to. Come on.
No, I'm not doing it. No way.
I will end this fucking call right now. You've been nice. Just tell me who
you know what? Like,
come on.
That tour, not only.
I'm the one that's going to be throwing them under the bus. You don't just do it. Who is it?
It was. No. I'll explain first of all. These guys are like good friends of ours, and they also gave us like our first ever US tour, and we love them to pieces.
Oh, so it is Broco.
There's no hate. It's not Broco, it's Newfound Glory. And it was one night. This is one night where it was a thing. So one night out of like 60 shows, and this was before the
Why
US
did they
tour
pick
that we
the
did.
Small stage night?
I don't know. So we did like 3 nights with them in the UK ages ago, back when we were like first starting out, and then further to that we did like a full US tour, and there was like one show in the UK things where I had like no room on the set, and I was like, oh man. But you're not gonna like ask Newfound Glory to strike their drums, are you? Like,
no, the drummer's fine, isn't he?
Yeah, sorry, good guy.
He's all right. He's not the one they fucking kicked out for the old
no, he was long gone.
Thank God. Okay, right. So, if anyone doesn't know, they do know you're the fucking singer. You do the singing.
I do.
The real life singing.
Real life. 100%.
Before we go into the... fuck it, it's going to the obvious. What's your single about, mate?
Well...
Because, right, let me tell you what...
It's... Okay, you know, what do you think it's about? That's actually... I'm curious.
It's called He's So Good.
It is called He's So Good, yeah.
I mean, guess it's about a guy.
Sure, it is about a guy.
I guess it's about a guy and another guy.
To an extent, yeah. So, like, it's a concept song. A lot of the questions that I've been getting, because, like, the whole theme behind it is, like, a heavily oppressed LGBT person that is fighting against all of the injustices and prejudices from family and friends and blah blah blah, and loads of people have been like, oh my god, like, have you suffered for this same thing? And it's like, no, I haven't. I have had the most privileged, sheltered, wonderful upbringing. My parents are awesome, my family's awesome. There's so much gay in my family. There's like literally so much gay in my family. My brother is like fully gay. My cousin's gay, my uncle is gay, I'm bi. It's just, if there's a gene, it's somewhere in my family.
How interesting is that?
It's mental.
I know someone else who is gay, and their cousin's gay. Right, not even like... Did you say your uncle's gay?
Yep, my uncle's gay.
Like, how weird.
Like,
I'm not saying, oh, gay, that's weird.
No, it is.
I'm saying, like, it's weird how, like, it seems genetic.
It could be. I mean, like, I'm a firm believer that it's not one way or the other. Like, I truly believe a spectrum is the best way to see it. And, like, you know, a lot of people might be like, no, man, I'm totally straight or I'm totally gay. It's like, okay, like, yeah, fair enough. I think
those people are lying.
I think
anyone that says they're totally straight.
Yeah.
It depends on what you're fucking... What makes not straight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, look... It's like from Superbad, isn't it? Like when Seth is like, "You've just seen a vagina on its own."
Not for me.
It's like when people watch porn, they want to see the dick and the vagina. Like, you know, there's no such thing as like totally, totally straight. Even if it's like to a tiny degree, I believe it does exist on a spectrum. And I also believe that people don't have to sit in one spot on that spectrum. Like, I reserve my right to move wherever I want, whenever I want, be attracted to whoever I want. And whatever gender presentation or whatever, like, whatever, like, why, like, bisexual is limiting, and it's an easy way to explain it to people without having to have an hour conversation about the kind of stuff that I find attractive. So it's easy to just say, yeah, I'm bi because I'm attracted to like both men and women. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, and I don't really want to pin it down. Like, why bother?
So does that mean you're technically pan?
Sure. Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, like, there's no point in putting a label on it, in my opinion. There are people that I have seen that I've been attracted to and that I've gelled with, and I would be interested in pursuing some sort of romantic or intimate engagement, and there are people that I'm not attracted to. And so far, the people that I've been attracted to have crossed a wide variety of this spectrum. And yeah, sure, you could call it pan, you could call it bi, but it might change. Like, I might end up marrying a woman and having kids and never being with a man ever again. I might end up just getting a husband. Like, I don't know. And I don't really care. And this is the thing. This is kind of like part of the point of the song, is that I don't believe there should even be a discussion about this beyond just like...
Okay, we'll hang up. I'm joking, I agree fully with you.
The only time a conversation about this is going to come up beyond like mates talking about their interest, the only time the conversation is going to come up is if someone disagrees. So it's going to be someone that's like, well, I don't think you should be bi, or you could be bi, or I think, you know, all this gender identity
isn't
politics.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
That people actually do that, and like fucking, they are so staunchly like on the internet all day, like... Boom.
Yeah.
You can't be like that. It's disgusting. It's against God. And then on the flip side, the latest one is everyone like, fucking, you'll always be a man. Or you'll always be a woman.
There's not a single person that could sit in front of me and give me a reason as to why they believe that being gay is like objectively or morally wrong. Like, oh, Jesus, or... Oh,
I'm way more likely to do gay shit if you tell me that.
Totally.
Like, oh, it's against God.
It's against God, or, you know, we need to continue the family bloodline. Like, you know, how could you do this? You know, the you're my only son. All this bullshit. It's just a projection of insecurity. And there's like, I'm so confident in my ability to just like brush this kind of thing off because of the upbringing that I've had, that I believe that that conversation shouldn't even exist. I don't think you should validate the conversation because it's just bullshit. And
so the song's like a what if my parents weren't so,
kind of like, it was inspired by this guy that I met on a tour. Who, you know, he grew up like, we gelled, and I like, you know, I love this guy a lot. I have a lot of respect for him, and he grew up in like rural, you're not allowed to be gay Florida, and you know, like, had girls,
which is surprising given the shirts that Floridians wear.
Yeah, right. And you know, he had girlfriends all throughout high school, and he couldn't tell anyone, and he couldn't like reciprocate these girls' feelings. He couldn't tell his family. He couldn't be who he was. And he was just telling me all this stuff because we like bonded over the course of a week, like really heavily. We had those kind of chats where you just talk for like 5 hours a night and you just cut through all the pretense and you just like properly get to know each other. And it was sick. And I just imagine, and he was like, I didn't have my first kiss until I was 27, like with a man. And I was just imagining the type of parents that would engender that kind of vibe to bring up a child that they're supposed to be supporting and allowing to be just comfortable and whoever they want, like my parents did. There was no conversation around it when I was growing up. Like,
so what happened? Give me set the scene. Was there ever like a, hey, this is...
It was a by the way. Like, I was coming back from a hospital appointment with my mum. She'd driven me to the hospital and we were just talking and I was like, by the way, I'm bi. And she was like, okay, cool. That was it.
That's how it should be. I honestly think it's annoying because it's like hot topics, all this shit, right? It's headlines, fucking clickbait or whatever. But the more we like normalize it, which it is fucking normal, but you think it's normal because we're around in an echo chamber. But as you just said about the like hardcore sections where it's not okay, think like the Lil Nas X song.
Fucking great fucking video, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. So but like the him doing that is so important for people that are like maybe in those kind of communities where it's you're gonna go to hell.
Yeah.
And then totally. They go, wait, okay, so that's actually how I feel as well, and this guy's doing it, that's fucking sick.
But it's the same kind of thing. So like that Lil Nas X song is like a lightning rod that's just in your face, I am gay, fucking deal with it type of thing. And to a lesser degree, that's kind of what He's So Good is. It's like, I just want it to be a song that people can listen to and know that it's written with them in mind so they can like feel heard and have a song that they can fucking bop to that they just know is for them. And their behavior and their desires, it's all normal, and it doesn't need, like, I think the idea of coming out is ridiculous because like straight people don't have to come out. You've like, I don't know how straight you are, but you've never had to like you've never had to declare your straightness so that people can categorize you, because it, and like your romantic interests are your own personal thing, and that's fine. It's not like you want to hide it, but it's just not something you've ever felt the necessity to bring up or talk about because you don't need to. But LGBT people have to like expose themselves and make this big bold statement and be like, I am gay and I am proud. And it's like, that is an intimate private thing that no one should have to say so that someone else and this other person who doesn't give a fuck about you or want to give a fuck about you or want to understand you so they can categorize you. It's like to make someone else feel better. It's like people shouldn't have to do it. Like, I have a fundamental issue with the idea of coming out in general. I understand that it's like it's reactionary and people do it because it's like this brave statement against your oppressors. I get that it's like necessary at the time, but I believe at a fundamental level that it shouldn't be a thing because it's fucking bollocks. Like, no one should have to reveal something so intimate and personal about themselves to make someone else feel better.
So how do we fix that though? Because you're always going to have the people that think their parents are not going to be supportive.
That's the $1 million question, isn't it? I mean, I have that privilege.
This is a hypothetical. This isn't tech support for gayness.
No. I mean, the thing is, I
is gayness okay? Can I say that?
I don't care. I make gay jokes all the time. Like,
I mean, I was just meant because we're literally talking about being gay and it's like tech support. I was like, I asked you, how do we fix this?
How do we fix this? Like, I mean, look, I can't speak for every gay person. And like, if I used like a word to describe gayness, yeah, I won't do it. But if I used a word to describe gayness in like as banter with my mates, me as an LGBT person, I don't care. There's going to be someone out there that has suffered at the hands of these words that is going to not find it funny, and they're going to be like, that actually triggers me in a big way, and it's not going to be funny for them, and that's okay. And I'll be like, right, well, I'm obviously not going to use that word around you, and I'm sorry. But I don't believe that like any word is just like objectively wrong to use. Like, if I want to describe myself in a certain way and make it funny for a bit of banter and not use the term homosexual or gay, if I want to say like, yeah, I'm this or I'm that, just like if I want to say like, oh, but yeah, I'm bent, like I'm a little bit bent, it's like I find that funny. Some people aren't going to find that funny because they're going to have been bullied, and that's okay. But like, for me personally and for my people that I feel comfortable around, I will use that language to describe myself. Because
I think I remember you using it on tour and I just went, you can't. It was at fucking Munich.
It
and I went, and I said, mate, you can't say that. And then you told me you were bisexual, and I was like, oh, I guess you can.
Well, it's like,
I remember it like, so fucking vividly.
It's a person-by-person basis. Like, if I was in a room with...
I heard you fucking say it. I went, oi, mate, you can't say that. And you're like, oh, well, actually. You know, and you pop your fucking card out.
I was actually, like, oh. I fucking love penis. It's one of my favourite things. And if I was in a room full of people who I respected and I knew their intentions and they started throwing around, like, slurs... In a kind of jokey way, it wouldn't bother me. I'm not saying that that makes it objectively okay and that everyone can just go throwing around like those kinds of slurs, but me personally, I'm just generally all right with it.
I feel like it would bother me more than it would bother you. I just think about who the people that it would bother. Well, how do we fucking fix it then? Back onto the subject.
I have no idea. Like, I have this privileged mindset because of my upbringing that I don't see it as an issue, and because I never saw it as an issue, I have this degree of confidence about me where I can see any kind of oppression or any kind of, like, if someone came up to me in the street and tried to make fun of me for being gay, there's just this block in my brain where it's like, I don't care because I don't respect what you're saying, because at the end of the day, you're just this petulant child that's trying to get to me, and you're failing to get to me. And that's the mindset that I feel like every human being needs to be blessed with. A lot of people can't be blessed with that because of the way that they've been brought up and the people that they've been around. But the way to fix it is to engender that confidence in people and make it so that these kinds of, like, flippant comments aren't going to do anything, aren't going to affect them in a way that, like, affects their day-to-day life. I don't know how to fix hate crimes and people getting beaten up for being gay. I have no idea. But I'm hoping, and like with songs like He's So Good, I just want to normalize it. I want to put out content.
That's what I'm getting at.
And I want people to, like, just see it as like, oh, punk bands can have these types of songs where we talk about the issues around being LGBT and, like, fighting back against your oppressor. Like, if your dad is making you feel like you're less of a human, or if your family or whoever, because of your, you know, romantic involvements, then he's a dickhead. I know he's your dad, and there's
a certain... You do say the dickhead. You do say dickhead in the song, don't you?
I do. You get what you fucking deserve. Dickhead. Like, I've just got no respect for anyone that kind of goes down that road. And one of the lyrics is, hitherto, if it's true that we choose, what's it got to do with you? Because that's another one. It's like, oh, it's a choice. You're choosing this, and you could choose the other way. It's like, all right, well, if it's a choice, then what the fuck's it got to do with you? It's a choice. Yeah, let me choose.
You can't be, but imagine actually thinking... That's so backwards.
Mental.
It perplexes me. And do you know what? Actually, I've got, you know, I'm not fucking... Do you know what I don't agree with, right? There's a lot of people... it's a real hot potato. But there's a lot of people who are just what I would consider quite normally open people. And now they are adopting the Q. And...
The Q?
The Q in LGBT.
Oh,
Q.
Right. Queer.
And a lot of just what I would consider straight people using it, and it's sort of like, I don't know. I honestly don't know because I can't really relate, but I feel like it's... What's the fucking word? It's like...
Like they're just trying to get in on some of the clout.
Yeah, and it's like almost silencing... The real Q movement, not QAnon, everyone. QAnon. That's not what I'm talking about. But do you know what I mean? I don't know if that's actually what's happening. But what I was going to say about that, because I guess some people would consider me Q, because, like, you know, I dress like a woman sometimes, and I fucking love it.
Really?
And
I love that about you.
Do you not know this? Do you want to see a fucking photo?
I'd love to see a photo. So you cross-dress for fun.
All right, so
I'm big
this
on
is
that.
The thing. So this
is this
is
like a kink thing or just like a like
no?
A...
I'm so annoyed. It's not. Okay.
Bummer.
So I love Drag Race. I think me and you talked about Drag Race.
Drag Race,
like,
is
a while
straight
ago.
Up one of my favorite things.
So basically, I always wanted to be like just actually put into full on fucking drag.
Mm.
So during lockdown, just bored. My missus did it, and she put me up in drag, and I was like, this is a fucking sick, I actually look kind of cool.
I was gonna say, and then got a good bone structure for it,
thanks. And then so on Twitch I was like, fuck it, I'll do it as a sub goal. And if we do the sub goal, if we get it, then I will, you know, do full drag.
I love that.
And love that, we did it fucking mental with like flattening down my eyebrows, putting the real shit in. Let me try and find a photo. Like fake, because we hit the sub goal, the money, that was quite a lot of money. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to put it into this. So I got like fake boobs. I got
you got like hip pads and everything.
I got the hip pads, a dress, got everything. I've got to find a photo. I looked fucking sick. Anyway, so after then, I was like, okay, from now on, I'll do normal Twitch goals. And then if we hit the target over X amount, then I will do it in drag.
What's your drag name?
Antifa. Antifa. Wait, let me get this. Let me get
it, Antifa.
Yeah, let me get this. Wait till you fucking see
this. That's so sick.
If I can get this to come on.
Got a bit of glare. Tip it for. Oh my god, bro! Thicker than a bowl of oatmeal. That wig is fucking serving, my dude.
She absolutely fucking nailed it.
Jesus.
So, do you know what? I know it was. It was crazy. And I was annoyed because when we were doing it, I was like, I hope I get really into this, because then it's like a new kink. Like I'm pretty sexually open. And,
oh yeah, I'm a kinky dude.
I'm a bit of a fucking, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm a bit of a fucking, not as in like I've got skills, as in like I'm into sex magic, like actual magic with a K.
You're going to have to clarify then what that means.
Like fucking spells and shit that you do when you're shagging.
Spells?
Yeah, like fucking man.
Wingardium Leviosa,
not fucking Harry Potter shit, that would make me a...
give me a anyway, sex spell. I'm invested.
You like, so now this is me coming out as a fucking madman.
Sorry, I'll share one. I'll make you feel.
Well, there's no. It's like so. Aleister Crowley. It's. I'm gonna go on a. I'll go. A very very blanket statement of like, there's something in sexual energy. If you're completely 100% open with what you're doing and what you want to do, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone,
sure.
That in the moment of climax, there is an unspoken force, and that you can manipulate, like you can will things into existence at that moment.
What? What honestly, have you willed into existence? Post nut clarity.
I can't tell you. Oh, when the post nut clarity kicks in, you're like, oh, fuck, I'm chained up. but anyway, so anyway,
this is another thing. Like, this is how fucking fragile, quote unquote, straight men are, and this has blown my mind ever since I discovered this when I was a ute, and it is that. You know, throughout all of my childhood and all of my teenage years, like, you know, when you're fucking growing up in boys' locker room talking about sex and bits for the first time, everyone's like, oh yeah, make sure you got to find the G-spot. You got to find the G-spot, otherwise like, the sex is going to be shit. It's like, oh, and it's like finding the clit, finding the G-spot. Like, you need a map, because it's like, fuck, I've got to find this before all my mates do, and I've got to make sure that all the sex that I do and all the fucking finger blasting is just the best thing ever. And we as men literally have one in our ass, and straight guys can't get over the idea that you can enjoy having things put in your ass and not be interested in men. And they're just like, no, exit only, mate, exit only, mate. And it's like, fucking hell, how fragile are you that you wouldn't take advantage of an actual G-spot?
If you're like totally fucked up and it's like, well, I can barely get it up, let alone come, boom, anything up the bum, bam!
It's wonderful. It's literally the best thing ever. And the people that are kind of like, no, oh, I'm not like,
oh,
that.
It's mad.
It's like you're just you're like, I just see you as someone that isn't living life to the fullest.
You ain't gonna get that magic fucking spell. I'll tell you that for free. You ain't gonna get that magic spell. That's what I was fucking. Actually, you put me back on fucking track. So when I made two TikToks. As if, do you not follow me on fucking? Do we not follow each other anyway?
BRB, just gonna follow you on TikTok.
Oh, no, not on I put them on TikTok, but I put them on Instagram as well. But, so I did two of the transitions, the bus it challenge, like, as a guy, and then when I do the fucking drop, it's a girl. And then, what's the other one? Oh, the fucking, you know, when they tap the boom, dun, 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 boom. He, I'm pretty and he liked that. You know that one? That transition? Did that one as well.
Are you unofficial Rain Lord?
Yeah, that's me, unofficial, because someone else picked my fucking name.
Nice, I've got you.
You can watch one now. You just I'm literally going to put it on there.
Which one? The first or second?
It's either both of them. I'm me as a woman. I want that real-time reaction.
You are fit.
Isn't it? I thought that. I'm doing it again tomorrow.
Mate!
How good is that?
It is great.
So,
the contouring is fantastic.
Mate, it's all her. I don't do fucking any of that shit. She is fucking on it. So, I actually had a little bit of like, it made me a little bit sad. My friends who didn't understand, like, I say friends, like maybe more like acquaintances, but like the amount of, oh, so what, I don't know. There was half of the people were like genuinely just fucking idiots who have been watching the fucking news and they assume that if a man dresses like a woman, he now wants to be a woman. Like the amount of, and it was like they meant well, but it was like, hey, bro. Well, they didn't say bro, obviously, but hey, just want to know what I call you now. And it's like, oh, man, I was just having a fucking laugh. And like media is so on the fucking trans thing right now that
people
that I think are just like normal humans are still like, oh, okay. So now there's now black, white and grey. So there's gay, there's straight and there's trans and there's absolutely fucking there's man, woman, trans.
People are desperate to categorise other people. Like, that is just the fact, like, no one can kind of just look at someone else and just be like, oh, they're just doing what they want to do. Like, because we as humans are, like, pattern recognition is our thing. That's how we've evolved. And when we see something that doesn't fit the pattern, we're like, fuck, I have to put a label on this. And some people want to put a label on themselves because they feel like it's like a point of pride for them. You know, they've been oppressed their whole lives and it's like, I need this label to feel like I belong. But other people are like, I have to put a label on this because I don't understand it. And I need to be able to put you in a box because if I can't put you in a box, then it's confusing and it makes me angry and I don't like it. And it's like, who gives a fucking shit?
There was acquaintances who meant well, but in meaning well and asking me how I identify after that was like, they're really just, so you're now assuming that every man in a dress wants to be a woman, and in a way that actually fucking treads all over the trans struggle.
It's because they want to understand in a simpler way and it's just not that simple. Like,
and then I had people like, oh, bro, this is disgusting. I'm following. It's like, it is only disgusting. It is only disgusting because you got a fucking little twinkle down there when you saw it.
That's the only reason. Like, if they were like, oh, you know, unfollowing Mura, it's a projection of their own insecurities. It's literally nothing to do with the act. It's such bollocks.
If this makes me not straight, I don't care. I would fuck me in that dress.
I'd fuck you
dick
in that
or
dress.
No dick. Dick. Well, there we go. Totally. Dick or fucking no dick. I'd let you fuck me in that dress.
Let's really switch
it up. Now we're fucking talking. Yeah. That's a real switch situation.
100%.
But, fucking flirting. I'm going to get in trouble now.
Funny there wasn't a screen between us. Jesus.
the fucking... So I'm doing it again tomorrow.
Nice.
And tomorrow, wait, because I hit the sub goal and then I smashed the sub goal. So I was like, the investors have put money into this. Wait till you fucking see these boots. Wait till you fucking see these.
You got
stay
kinky
right
six inch boot heels. Oh my God.
Oh, mate.
Fucking hell, I'm ready.
You are not ready.
Ah, the thigh highs. Talk to me, baby.
And you know what? And people are like, some people think he's just doing it for money, or he's just doing it for Twitch. It's like, no, actually, I fucking well enjoy it. Unfortunately, it doesn't turn me on. But B, people fucking love to see it. It is actually making me money. But as well as making me money, I fucking love doing it.
I wish I were. If I were less of a pussy, I'd start an OnlyFans. I totally would.
What? Just.
For cash.
Just jerking off and shit.
Why don't you do it straight out of cash? Because I don't know. There's just like I'm a pretty liberated person, and I'm like open with my sexuality and stuff like that. But there's just a roadblock in my head that makes me not do it. I can't explain it.
And is it the band? Because I thought about doing it, but it's the band.
I mean, yeah, I do have pretty recognizable tattoos, but like the thing is, it would be if I just started an OnlyFans, like with my face and everything, which is like, this is my OnlyFans, this is my penis. It wouldn't be the end of the world. Like, people would probably just be like, "Hey, power to you." Like, I could spin it and just be like, "This is what I want to do. It's fine. Like, you have to pay and you have to be over 18 anyway." And I'd probably make a decent handful of money, and I'd probably have fun doing it. But there's just a part of me that's just like, yeah. Don't, and I don't know why, but
see, my missus does it and she makes fucking bank.
Yep.
And I've always been tempted to just be like, I could just be in this one.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't want to, like, I don't know if something, if it was frowned upon or whatever,
that's
like,
probably it.
Like, I wouldn't want the other members of my band, exactly, to suffer.
Like, if it was just me, like, on my own, I'd have done it. But like, I exactly, that's probably actually it. Like, there's more than one person in Trash Boat, and if the band, like, but it wouldn't end, because like, imagine getting cancelled for just having an OnlyFans. It just wouldn't happen.
Oh, I don't think you get cancelled. I don't know. It's the unknown, isn't it?
It's the unknown.
I honestly, during COVID, before it was like, before I made Twitch money, like, that's now like officially what gets me through the month, money wise. I thought about it because I was like, I could just eat a little bit less carbs, get the abs back, boom, dick out.
100%. Easy money, passive income. But
the other thing that I know a lot of OnlyFans girls through, obviously, my missus' friends, like, I shout out Leica, the makeup master.
All of the girls that I'm currently seeing have OnlyFans.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay, so how sick is this? Like, they need to make content. This goes for boys and girls. But, like, so they're... It's like 3 or 4 times a week they are dressed up like you would only get on your fucking birthday.
Yeah.
4 times a week. It's the best thing on earth. And you know what else about it? It's kind of fucking hot.
Super hot.
That someone else is going to watch it. Does that make me a cuck?
No.
I don't give a fuck.
It makes you the bull.
I don't actually care.
It makes you the bull because you get
to...
Yeah.
Is it the most alpha?
Well, no, yes. you're like, you are cucking the people that are watching. So it's like, you get to fuck the OnlyFans star and other people
I guess you guys could pay to watch.
Yeah.
It's fucking sick.
That's like financial cucking. That's like a different level of cucking.
And that's my shit.
I never understood
I'm a fucking pay pig. No, I'm the opposite. I'm the pay bull.
Yeah, you are literally the bull. I'd be the bull if I were ever in a cucky situation. I would bull. I love kink. Kink is a pretty like heavy aspect of my life. Like I enjoy it. Obviously it's like relatively private, and I'm not one of those guys that is gonna
is on notfest.com.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
mine never is anyway. I talk about it all the time.
Yeah, like I love I don't know if I could ever go back to just like regular vanilla sex ever again, you know, like maybe, but not really.
I feel like I just like everything.
Yeah.
I'm just
open to open to any experience.
In life, I think I'm a hedonist, whatever that is. Just like, give me all of the pleasure mainlined into my head.
Yeah, I mean, that is from my everything. Personality.
It needs to go up my ass to do that? Fine. Get it done.
That has fed into some of like the biggest problems that I've had in my life. That kind of hidden, and like the song that I sent you that you haven't had the chance to listen to yet, Heroin.
Nice save there.
Classic.
Thank you. Because I didn't have time.
No, but that's literally what that song is about. So, and that's going to be when we put that. It's not called Heroin. That's like a working title. It's going to be called something else. But
is it about heroin?
It's not. It's not. Well, I mean, it's just about, like, secretly, I just want to do all of the fucking drugs. I just want to crush up my prescription OxyContin pills and just be in a euphoric, opiate-induced state and watch all the porn and have all the sex and just do fucking nothing and smoke weed and just shag and be a degenerate, because that's secretly what I want to do. Obviously, every day I have to stop myself from doing that. Like,
Oxy's a bad one, though. Come on, take that out of there.
Oxy's a... Dude, I had a, like, really, really bad prescription painkiller problem and porn problem for the longest time. Associated with my knee. And
oh, so you really meant everything you just said?
Oh, I thought that totally was a hypothetical. Meant everything.
No, sorry.
Totally meant everything I just said. Like, when all my knee stuff started getting really bad, like I was about 18, 19, and at the time I'd had like 5 surgeries, I had an untreated staph infection, I'd woken up from surgery number 5, I think, where the surgeon, like my parents were next to my bed when I woke up in the hospital bed, they were in tears, I was like groggy, I was like, what the fuck, they were just both crying, never seen my dad cry before, it was really weird, but they were both in tears, and the surgeon was like stood next to my bed with this clipboard, and he was like, your knee is in a really, really bad way. And I was like, I don't understand what's going on. He was like, he showed me this kind of slideshow image on the clipboard of him just using these tweezers to pull out all of this rotting flesh from the inside of my knee.
Serious? Fucking hell.
So like my cartilage was just coming off in chunks, and like the articular surface of my bone, he was just pulling it off. And he was just like, it was all just rotten. And that's why your knee's been so swollen and weird. Yeah, because I had this staph
infection. After the surgery, you got the infection?
No. I got the staph infection I got on like the second surgery, and it went untreated for like 2 years. And I had other surgeries to take out little pieces of torn cartilage. They thought it was just subsequent cartilage tears. That's what I thought it was. So I'd go in for like surgery 3, surgery 4, because my knee would be all swollen and shit. And they just take out like a little piece of cartilage.
You're lucky to have that fucking leg.
I'm lucky to have that fucking leg. And at one point when I had this 5th surgery, he was just like, this has gone undetected and your knee is basically just utterly rotten and it'll never be the same ever again. It's only going to get worse from here. You're going to need a knee replacement at some point in the near future, which is really bad because of how young you are. And not only is it really bad, but the fact that you've had a staph infection at some point means that if you choose to get a knee replacement at any point, the staph infection could just come back because they thrive on metal surfaces, which is what knee replacement is. And if that happens, not only could you lose your leg, but it could spread and it could kill you, or you could lose like more than your leg. It could spread like up your hip, and it could like that. I literally had a call with my surgeon 2 weeks ago, and he was like, you need to face the reality that not only do you desperately need a knee replacement, but whenever you choose to roll the dice on that surgery, it could go horribly wrong.
So, right, so they can't
fix me in any way. And my choice at the moment is either live in pain and just limp, because like I limp everywhere I go.
This got fucking serious really quick.
I know.
I was talking about lovely cross-dressing.
It ties into to the point I was originally making there. Like my life at the moment, like I can't walk very far at all. I limp everywhere I go. I'm in pretty much constant moderate pain to severe pain, depending on how much walking I have to do. I can't put any weight on my bad leg. It's just this rotten, weak, horrible little stick that will give way occasionally and makes it really, really hard to do day-to-day stuff. And I need to roll that when it gets intolerable and I can't move, then I have to roll the dice and I have to take the knee replacement thing, which may end up...
Why can't they get rid of the MRSA?
No.
Or whatever, it's staff. Is it the same thing?
I mean, yeah, it's staff, but like they can't guarantee anything. These are the calls that I've had. It's like, we can't guarantee anything here. Anything could happen. We have no idea what's going on, really. We have no idea whether we can fix it. All we know is that at some point...
That must be so frustrating.
It is super annoying. And like at the time, when this all properly kicked off when I was about 19, it's about 10 years ago now, maybe about 20-ish, and they were just like, we can't do anything for you. You just basically have to live with it. And when it gets unbearable, let us know and we'll roll the dice. And what they could do was prescribe me painkillers. So I got an OxyContin prescription. I got Tramadol prescription, Diclofenac, which I stopped taking because it was fucking with my stomach. So they changed me to Naproxen, Diazepam. And I ended up taking beta blockers as well because I started getting really anxious about how many drugs I was taking. So they gave me more drugs to make me less anxious about how many drugs I was taking.
Rare by them.
Fucking crazy, eh? Like, I was a young kid and I was exploring sexually and I was absolutely dosed up on painkillers the whole time. And for those of you that know, being on opiates to such a heavy degree basically gives you erectile dysfunction. Like nothing was, it kind of worked, but not really. And I had loads of like really embarrassing situations at the time where I didn't understand that it was the painkillers at the time. I just thought that I couldn't do sex. You know what I mean?
Oh, so shit, yeah.
It was rough. And I ended up just leaning into porn, obviously, because I was a young kid and I needed that release. So I ended up with a savage porn addiction and a savage opiate addiction that I had for like the longest time. I've been completely...
What counts as a porn addiction, though? Because I reckon I had a porn addiction when I was fucking 17.
Well, this is the back and forth. Because, like, even when I kind of cut porn down to, like, let's say once a week or once a fortnight, it was still something that my, life revolved around and that I was looking forward to, and I wasn't engaging with like real people. I was just waiting until I could allow myself to watch some porn. You know what I mean? So
it's interesting.
Still an addiction.
And it's an interesting one though. Like the porn, the pros and the cons of porn, right? Because actually right now, I don't watch any porn.
I don't
because
anymore.
I haven't stopped actively. It's because my girlfriend's got an OnlyFans and she's making porn 4 times a week. So I'm in the Matrix.
Yeah.
I'm in the fucking Matrix. So I haven't actually watched porn. I think I watched porn like once in the last year.
Yeah, people can balance it. But the point is, I wasn't balancing it, and the porn stuck around way longer than the painkillers. So like I was dosed taking painkillers every day up until about like 23, and then the porn lingered until I was about like 25 26, and then for the last couple of years I've just been teetotal on everything, and I'm
but
like
do you not think
porn is the devil?
But yeah, and this is the thing, I don't think I agree with the porn is the devil statement, because I feel like
porn is the devil for me because I can't balance it.
It's so weird because you can't, no one has the answers, but like, yeah. In my head, if you have a kid, like you can't control what gives somebody their fetish. Like it happens in inane acts in childhood, like not necessarily sexual acts or whatever. So what if you have a kid who is, let's say 18 for the sake of this being fucking too edgy, you have a kid who's 18, right, and for some reason, let's go she, just so I can really get off the fucking hook for this one.
Classic.
She is into ball stomping. Like, and she doesn't know why, but, you know, it really fucking gets her fucking going. Now, if she doesn't have the outlet, I have really got myself in the clear here by the age and the gender. Fucking go me. If she doesn't have an outlet for ball stomping, she's addicted to ball stomping, then what's to say she's not going to go out and ball stomp?
Well, that's the classic argument, isn't it, for like, you know, people that are into like illegal stuff, and it's like, is it better to for them to have that outlet to see illegal things, and or does that, or do you think that's going to make them want to do it in real life more?
But that's how are the illegal things getting made? Well, that's the big
what if the illegal things is just a drawn picture?
Now we're getting down to Louis Theroux's fucking it's place for pedophiles episode.
It's deep. But I mean, look, the thing is, porn isn't real, and it was affecting my ability to engage with the real world, and I was substituting real world experiences for non-real experiences. I'm not saying that like the non-real experiences are objectively bad, but for me personally, I had to cut it completely clean and just focus on the real. And like, I'm not even 100% better. I don't watch porn anymore, and I don't take painkillers anymore unless I have to. Like, my relationship with both of these things is vastly healed, and I feel like a normal human being. There's still residual effects that linger from just that, like, because porn is so easy. Like, you can just sit there and dive into the deepest part of your fantasy brain, and you have complete control over what's going on, and you don't have to put in any effort. And compared to it's all on there. Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's like,
I think
compared to real sex, it's just not the same, and you develop dopamine pathways and ways of stimulating yourself that are just not real. And then you start to enjoy the real world less. And I was like, I don't enjoy this because my brain reacts to this stimulus and not this stimulus. And that's when I decided to cut it, because I was like, I'm not a fucking real person. And it's like, my brain is telling me that I don't enjoy real sex, and it's bullshit.
I just worry with the anti-porn vibe, couple of things. Number one, you probably, quite a lot of people, especially women on OnlyFans, would go out of work if porn was gone.
Mm.
Second note, there's a lot of countries where porn is illegal, and they have insanely high rates of sex crimes.
Yeah, so porn should not be illegal, 100%.
I think you need to... the Pornhub needs to be fucking closed. The tube sites need to be fucking closed. And then porn... realistically, men are the biggest fucking threat, and if anyone fucking, like, you're so sexist, men are the biggest
they
fucking
are, by
threat
and, large.
And watching fucking rapey porn and then carrying it out is definitely a thing.
Horrible. Totally.
So maybe we just fucking get rid of the tube sites and all porn is directed by women.
Ooh.
Boom. Done.
Interesting. I mean, like, yeah, I don't think porn is...
Except for the ball-crushing woman. She's not allowed to make hers. She needs at least a co-director.
Like, I don't think porn is objectively bad. I just couldn't balance it.
Not for you. That's like weed and me. Yeah. Can't smoke it. Like, I love it. Can't smoke it.
Yeah, like, I could just watch porn. And I did just watch porn for a long time. And then I had like a come to Jesus moment where I was just like, fucking hell, I'm like 25 and this is just like, it's looking like this is going to be the rest of my life. And I cut it cold and I've been a very good boy for about 3 years now. And
I watched so much porn when I was married.
Like, fucking hell, the amount.
Because I just didn't want to fuck her. But then the more porn I watched, the less I wanted to fuck her.
Totally. Because
you're not what I fancy today.
Yeah.
Ever. For the last fucking 2 years. So what the fuck?
This is the thing as well. Like, I would view content where the lines of consent become grey, but not because I wanted to breach those lines. I wanted to be the one on the other side of it.
Careful.
No, this is the thing. You know what I mean? So it's like, it was just
a lot of people are into that.
Yeah, dude, I'm a bottom through and through, man. I'm on the ice diet, like 100%. And
what's the ice diet?
I'm on the ice diet, man.
What does the ice diet mean?
Means that the system's clean, my dude.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I get it. that's funny. Well, you got no switch in you?
Oh, I have switch in me, but I'm like, I'm a
bottom dominant.
If the vibe
bottom with men, if dom with women.
Yeah. If the vibe was right, mix. I would switch for either. But like, you know, I'm pretty open to suggestions. I'm open to exploring. Generally, my default is with men, very bottom. With women, very top.
Is it? Well, I said that's fucking dangerous on all sides.
Yeah, totally.
Getting yourself into all sorts of trouble, but he's not really, guys. Come on, we can have a real grown-up conversation.
I think like the conversation is and communication is the most important part. Like, any action between consenting adults is... it's not an objectively bad thing. Like, I've had conversations where it's like, okay, you just got to have safe words. You've got to have open communication. You've got to, you know, because being the bottom is a position of power. That's what a lot of people don't understand. So if you're like, if you are the bottom, if you are the masochist that is going to get like beaten up or choked or, you know, fake this and that play where it's like the lines of consent are being kind of blurred and crossed, at the end of the day, the only situation in which I am interested in is the one where the bottom has the final say. Because otherwise I'm not interested. Otherwise it's too real. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as the bottom says stop, it stops. So even though the top is like the big dom doing all of the you know, horrible things, at the end of the day, the bottom is the one with the true power. Bottom says stop, stop. Bottom says a safe word, stop. And that's how it has to be. If it's like that and it's consensual and there's communication, then there's very few limits for me. I'm open to just see where it goes and talk about stuff and like and let's go. But if that is
you need to get into fucking sex magic. You won't be working in this tech support job. You want to manifest some fucking riches.
You're going to have to show me how to manifest.
I reckon you're having this fucking good. I reckon you're having the good, and that's where the fucking actual magic happens. Hey. Everyone's going to stop listening now because like the man is a fucking psychopath. Do you know what else? This is the British Library contacted me. Like, are you in? Like, would you be okay if we archived the downbeat in the British Library, as in like where one of every book ever written goes?
Yep.
And they're starting on podcasts, and they were like, well, can we do it with the downbeat? Totally. I was like, absolutely, you can. So some fucking guy 300 years from now might be listening to this,
totally,
and being like, wait. Everyone didn't fuck everyone back then.
Dude, I have the good...
when they're hairless beings that are just fucking... everyone's going around shagging everyone.
You're
going
to have to show me some of this sex magic at some point. Like, I have the good now.
I mean, I can't
have...
show you it. I'm in a relationship, but I can show you a book.
Just give me a pass. Just give me a free pass to your OnlyFans when you inevitably end up making it. But, like, I have the good now on many fronts because porn is no longer a part of my life, which is just... I love that. And that... that's my word. Like, I'm not going to tell anyone.
I think I agree. I think I agree. I think I have better sex because I haven't fucking jerked off 3 times that week. And also because it's, you know, I can't stress it enough. It's like, I get a lot of messages of people like, oh, how do you cope with her having OnlyFans? Like, I started talking to her on her OnlyFans. Like, so who am I to say to stop doing that? Mm. Number two, you know that sex you only get once a year on your fucking birthday? 3 fucking times a week.
I'm all about it.
See you later.
I mean, I'm not even like, I mean, I'm currently like exploring polyamory. Where, like, I'm interested.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, like, I basically have a handful of partners who are all aware of the situation. It's all what they want as well. Like, they are polyamorous too. They have multiple partners. When it comes to that, my only words, communication is key. Talk to me. Tell me. I want to hear about it. And please don't give me an STD.
I was going to say, get tested.
That's it.
Because the minute you said... I saw the family tree, not real family, but I saw the branches. I was like, okay, this is,
yeah. It's,
but yeah, that's sick. Good for you.
It's messy. It's not,
I was going to say, is it messy? Is there love involved? Are you in love with more than one person?
No. It's polyamory is kind of a misnomer because that the literal translation is like multiple love. I don't feel like I'm in love with anyone. But I am exploring intimate relationships to this, with multiple people at the same time who are aware that that is what's going on and that's also what they want. And yeah, obviously, like, there's feelings involved to a greater or a lesser extent. Like, I've had friends that have engaged in polyamorous relationships and, like, some of their partners have ended up finding someone that treats them like a queen and they're like, I actually don't want to be polyamorous because this person treats me like with all this loyalty and whatnot. And you know, the discrepancies in your emotional investment can become quite apparent, especially if you don't like talk about it a lot, or if all of a sudden, like, people can change their minds, people can meet people who change their minds. It's 100% messy, but I don't feel like I want to commit to anything to like the same degree that like you do, or like settling down with like a wife or whatever. I haven't met that person yet, and
mine was shit anyway, so don't bother with that one. Just don't do that. Just don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, until I hit that Disney love and I meet that person where I'm like, oh my god, it's you and you forever, until then it'll be, you know, the bachelor's life for me.
The bi bachelor.
The bi bachelor.
Double the amount.
I'm just greedy, man.
Double the amount is fucking sick. I wish I liked guys, because it would be more shit to be turned on by. But I think my line is like, I don't care about dicks. If a girl's got a dick, like,
right.
But I don't know. What does that make me? Who gives a fuck?
You don't vibe the masculine energy.
Yeah, no, that's not for me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not.
What about like feminine guys?
Nah, I still don't think so.
Not the thing. See, I'm not personally attracted to. Well, I mean, so far, I haven't met any really feminine guys that I've been attracted to. So, like, I like a manly man, whatever that is.
Yeah, I think I just like girls. And
me too, brother.
But like, you know, if there was a trans girl, I'd be like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah. I don't
pre-op. Not that I think an op makes you any more or less.
When it comes to trans or your gender presentation or like your femininity or whatever, I'm not going to say I'm not into that or I'm into that. I'm going to take it on a person by person basis. I reserve my right to be
a dickhead.
Yeah, totally. I reserve my right to potentially be attracted to whoever I want. And no one can ever say, oh, but you're this, so you can't be attracted to this. It's like, shut the fuck up, man. Shut the fuck up. I'll be attracted to whoever I want.
While we can cross those lines together, though, the porn fetishization of trans people is definitely an issue as well. Grim.
Fetishization of anything, though. That's the devious. I know, but
right now you've got the political hot potato of trans people, so all the media outlets are fucking talking about it or whatever. Yeah. And then you've also got the fetishization of trans people that's been going on for so long. So you then get these people, like, I've got a lot of friends who've like gone on TV and talked about their transition or stuff like that, and then they've had you know, fucking 500 dick pics because of the people that have been watching it on porn just see that them as an object.
Mm.
So I don't know how we fix that. I mean, I think the way we fix it is to just get women to direct all porn and make it heavily regulated.
Oi, oh, you can see I'm yawning.
Knackered.
I ain't got any, yeah, that's a fucking, most people, I did a podcast with Daniel P. Carter, right, and every time he had to cough or do anything, he pressed mute, and I'm just fucking yawning all over the fucking, yawning all over the mic. People still listen, though, you're still fucking here.
I mean, I love it.
That was a fucking deep dive into
sexuality and gender. I feel like if we listen back to that, we'd be like, oh, fucking hell, yeah.
What? I didn't think it was that, I think we're good.
Hey, I'm an open book, my guy, I love talking depth.
I think a lot of people might be shocked. This is why I don't ever do an interview. I knew we weren't going to talk about the fucking song or any band shit, really. And that is why people like it. Because I hate it. The amount of times. Honestly, if it wasn't you, I would have turned this down. Because this was out of the blue from a press person. And if we hadn't met before, I was like, because he messaged me and was like, are you interested in Toby from Trash Boat, blah, blah, as if we'd never met. And I was like, yeah, I know that guy, I love him, let's do it. But like the amount that I get, and it's like, are you interested in this person? So, well, funnily enough, fucking no. And a couple of times I've actually done it because it's been someone that I don't know but I like their music, and it's been horrible, and I actually haven't released the episodes because it's me going, oh, so on the new album, there's, I was like, fuck off. I don't care. The people are going to listen to the fucking music anyway. Let's talk about whether or not you stick stuff up your ass.
It's a fucking way, mate, I'm telling you.
I think that's a lovely place to end on, Toby. I mean, that's a lovely place to end on. I think we've covered a lot of ground there.
Totally.
I've had a really good time. I was actually having a very bad day before this, and now I'm jovial.
I'm glad. I really am. Yeah, we should start. We should start a sec. We should start a subsequent podcast, like a split-off podcast that's just to do with sex magic.
I wanted to get loads of fucking like OnlyFans girls on here and boys actually, and everyone said no. I was like, well, you will put your fanny on the internet,
but you won't talk about it.
You won't talk about it. Come on,
mugs game.
Anyway, we'll leave it on that fucking note.